The Offside Rule exclusives.
Manchester City legend Pablo Zabaleta is no stranger to English shores. With a CV that lists two Premier League titles, an Olympic gold medal, and a World Cup finalist medal, the Argentinian defender has achieved greatness at both domestic and international levels. Zabaleta can boast playing alongside the likes of Sergio Aguero, Maurizio Pochettino and, of course, Lionel Messi. In 2012, he scored the opening goal against QPR, which sent Manchester City on to win their first league title since 1968. Since then, he's followed in the footsteps of Argentinian titans Javier Mascherano and Carlos Tevez by joining West Ham United, where, at the time of recording, he still plies his trade. The Offside Rule sat down with Pablo Zabaleta at West Ham's training ground to learn a little more about his career and where it might lead to next.
The Offside Rule exclusives with Lindsay Hooper.
Pablo, thank you very much for joining us on the Offside Rule exclusives.
You.
It's great to have you on. I want to start actually with your move to England, first of all. I know that there was much that went on before that. We'll get to that later. But in terms of coming to England and making that decision when you did, I believe at the time you had an option. Was it Juventus?
Yes, there was. Juventus was one and a couple of more clubs.
Yeah.
But obviously, I'm always been a big fan of the Premier League. And as a football player, you always dream, you know, to one day got a chance to go and play in England. And obviously, it was a tough decision because I was at Espanyol, lovely city, Barcelona. I was really enjoying my time in Spain. And obviously, Manchester City was not the club that it is today. It was completely different. It was a middle-table club, and as a football player, when you're playing in for a team like Espanyol, which is another middle-table club, that's probably you're just waiting for some of the top club to go and play with a, you know, and win trophies and all that. But as I say, for me, it was one of those moments where I wanted to make sure that coming to England was the right decision, and it's been 11 years now.
So what had you heard about England? What had you heard about Manchester? You must have had players that you knew that were over here.
Well, when you watch English games, normally on TV, when you're abroad, you know, living in Spain or Argentina, you always watch top clubs like in that moment, I don't know, Arsenal, Liverpool. There were not many Argentinian players playing in the Premier League at that time. And most of them, they were between two countries, Italy and Spain. So normally we used to watch more Italian or Spanish game than English Premier League games. But when Manchester City showed a really, you know, interest, and I was playing in China for the Olympic Games, and when my agent told me that Manchester City wanted to, you know, to make an offer and all that, and I needed to make a decision, I went on internet. Obviously, I was looking picture of Manchester, also looking at the...
Did you do Google Images?
Yes, yeah, because I went on YouTube as well, because... I don't know, there were not any Argentinian player playing in Manchester City, just maybe to say, okay, let's phone somebody and just...
I hope you had a weather app as well.
and that was it. Just I came back to Spain, and it was only 2-3 days for the end of the transfer windows. I needed to make a decision. Mark Hughes was the manager. And that was it. I just at some point say, okay, let's go. Let's have a new experience. Let's move to a country that obviously will be completely different. But always when you, from my point of view, when you got a chance to move to another country with a different culture, different language, I don't know, is another experience in life as well, not just in football. So I thought it was the right time, the right moment to come. And I was 23, I was young, but I think with 3 years of experience in European football, I went to Manchester, I signed my contract, I met the manager, I met some people at the club, and then I remember I went back to Argentina to play international games. A few days later, the club has been sold to the new owners.
Yes.
So it was
literally a matter of days that the club changed hands. And so did you not know about that potential, or did you?
I heard something because the owner, he was before Shinawat, I think he was from Thailand, something like that. He was in trouble with in his country, and there were some people talking that probably he was looking to sell the club, but nobody knew at that time who would be the new owners. When I was in Argentina, a few days later, the club announced that people from Abu Dhabi bought the club. And a few days later, they signed Rovinho from Real Madrid on £40 million. I think it was transfer fee records. Today is nothing, £40 million, but that was the moment where everything started, you know, for the club. And I have to say I've been very lucky to decide to go and sign for the Manchester City, because then probably would have been a different story for me or for the club. I came to the club in the right time.
You couldn't have known as well the scale of that project that was coming in under Sheikh Mansour.
No, because obviously when they spent £40 million on Rovinho, and you probably everybody thought, okay, you know, the big money's there, so they will buy players, they will try to attract big players, big names, and all that. And it was like a big challenge for everybody to be part of the new era for the club. And for me, I thought, let's work hard, let's show that I'm good enough to be here for the next few years. I want to challenge myself. I want to be here to achieve, you know, good things with the club, to help the club to be better. And that was it. You know, I spent 9 years in Manchester. I won trophies, and I got really good memories from my time in Manchester.
You're also the sort of player that you don't just join a club, you ingratiate yourself within that local community as well. And your wife is a journalist, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's been doing some work in Manchester Avenue News when she was there. Yeah, it was a good experience even for my wife, you know, to learn something different.
And for you to learn from her as well, because being a journalist...
I couldn't speak a word in English. I remember when I came back from international games on a Friday afternoon, I went to the training ground, and Mark Hughes said to me that I was going to play next day on the Saturday 5:30 against Chelsea. And I thought, but I don't know the players. I don't know my teammates. I don't know anybody. And I remember coming into the game, and I met the player just a few hours before the game. And as I say, I couldn't speak a word in English. I remember the pre-match meal, the pre-match meeting, Mark Hughes talking to everybody. And it was, I think, some of the Spanish players trying to translate to me and say what he was saying. So it was tough. But, I thought I just need to learn quickly. I need to put some effort and learn, because obviously the communication in football is so important, not just with the teammate, also with the manager, with the media, with everybody. So I had English lessons once or twice a week. I was living in Disbury, a really nice area in Manchester, where the same thing, I was trying to go out, to talk to people. That probably was the best way to learn some English. If not at home, obviously, when I was with my wife or with some friends, it was all the time speaking Spanish. So you don't learn that quick if you are all the time talking in your native language.
And at that particular time as well, professionally, you had so much going on in your career, because not only moving to England, joining Manchester City, but on an international level, playing with Argentina, you ended up around that time as well, winning gold at the Olympics with Argentina. And of course, all your new teammates are saying, oh, you happen to be in the same dressing room as a certain Mr. Messi as well.
Well, I met Leo Messi when he came for that tournament. No, before on under 20s, we won the World Cup in Holland before the Olympics, and it was the first time I met Leo Messi for that tournament. Then the same group of players, we won the gold medal in China in 2008. And most of this player for that generation, also we played many games for our country. We reached the World Cup final, we lost to Copa Americas also, you know, on penalties. We were very unlucky, honestly, because we lost three consecutive big finals. We were so close to win the World Cup as well. You always enjoy these international games. When you play for your country and wearing your, you know, the shield of your country, you wear it with proud and you give everything. And I have to say that I've been very lucky to play alongside with great players.
I have so many questions about this period because there's so many big names as well. But first of all, easily off the top of my head, Diego Maradona, because in 2010 he was your head coach. What was he like as a coach?
I grew up watching Maradona playing in football. I was born in 85 and then he won the World Cup in 1986 in Mexico. And I was only 1 year old, so I can't remember so much from this World Cup. But Maradona is like a god for everybody. So then when I had a chance to spend some time with him as a manager, it was a lovely experience. And that was it, because in football you meet so many people and you got a chance to work alongside with great players, great managers. So you always need to remember those moments with these people.
And trying to get into the psyche of players now, because everyone talks about that dressing room, and when you've got someone who's been such a high-profile player like him, like you say, renowned in your country as godlike, they're telling you something and they've been there and they've done it. Does it stay with you and register more when someone has been at that level? Because you've got coaches like Jose Mourinho that's not had that level, but also very famous
imagine
coaches.
Imagine that I've been watching Maradona playing in football for maybe 20 years and it was something amazing what he's done in football. And then one day you are in front of him and he's the manager. He talked to you. He give you some tips, you know, for football and all this. So it's a really special moment, honestly.
I don't think every great player can go on to be a great manager, though, can they? I mean, he's not been in terms of the same level in coaching as he was as a player.
Yes, definitely. Being a good player doesn't mean you will be a good manager. Also, off the field, it was, a very difficult moment for him. And when you work with different managers, you just need to take all the positive from them, learn from these people, because their experience in football is massive, is huge. And as I say, when they talk to the player in the way he can inspire players and people, because Diego was probably one of them that won the World Cup as a player, and then he got a chance to be the manager, and then he was all the time telling to the players different experiences in football. And when you sit down and you listen to him talking, it's something amazing.
I do get the impression that you listen a lot. And, I mean, the players that you've had that you've learned from, teammates, I guess there's a link as well with your current club being here at West Ham, because Carlos Tevez, Mascherano, are those players that you've listened to a lot in the past?
I got Carlos Tevez and Mascherano, we're the same age and from, let's say, same generation. We played so many games under 17, under 20s, and then I will never forget the moment when they joined West Ham, because we came to play the first game at the Emirates Stadium against a friendly game against Brazil, and they were playing in for Corinthians in Brazil. I think the club was struggling with something was going on in the club. They needed to sell the players, and after that game that we played in London against Brazil, they signed for West Ham, and Alan Pardew was the manager, I think in one of the first press conference, Alan Pardew said that he didn't really know them much, and then look, they became top players. One Tevez went to United, then City, then Mascherano went to play for Liverpool. So they spent, we got like same similarities with them. We played for so many years in England. They are really good friends of mine.
Good friends, summer coming up. So I'm told that, and via video evidence here at West Ham as well, that Argentinians can do barbecues better than anybody else. So they have an image now of you and Mascherano and Tevez. Why is it so different? Why are you the kings of the barbecue?
Well, this is a tradition. I don't know. In Argentina, always on the weekends, we love to do barbecues to bring people together, families, friends. Probably you got 15 or 20 people in your house and everybody having barbecues. It's like a religion. We really enjoy something social as well, because when you do asado, which is sort of the meat, it takes 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
This is why you're doing it very different to us. Yeah. We slap on those sausages.
It's like a ritual, you know. You choose, everyone comes 3 hours before, you talk, you open a bottle of wine, you have a few drinks when the meat is there. Then everyone sit in the table and after that, probably we are another hour talking after the barbecue. So, yeah, we normally do these on the Sundays, and it's something really good.
I need to try and get a pass to one of these
at some
point.
The only problem is too much rain in this country.
We got
to do something outside.
But you're better now that you're in London, surely.
No, so much drier here, so much better in London.
The Offside Rule Exclusives.
Let's talk about West Ham and that move, because like you say, you'd won every single English honour that there was to win with Manchester City. I imagine as well you'd made great friendships there. I always get this impression that you and Vincent Kompany were very
yes.
tight. And how did this move come around?
I knew when I was only 1 year left Manchester City that my time was coming probably to an end. I was in my 30s, probably sometime in football is good to realize, you know, when enough is enough, and I thought that was, I gave everything to the club, and I won trophies, and I understood that probably it was the right moment to move on, for my family also, and when I met Slaven, he said that he was looking to have some experienced player for the right back spot. It was Sam Byram. He was doing good, but he was young. He needed probably some time. And obviously, it's always good to have two players in each position where you can have a young player with a full of energy and all this, and probably then also have a player with experience that probably you also know what he's doing and all that. So always when I came down to London to play games, I thought it was a lovely place to live with the family. West Ham in English football is a club with a huge tradition in football. And I remember when I came to play against West Ham with Manchester City at the London Stadium. Also, I was really impressed with the atmosphere. It was 60,000 fans that night, and it was simply amazing. When they told me that they were looking to bring me here to play for 2 years, I thought it was could be good, you know, a good chance for me to enjoy my last few years in football, to have also the chance to live in London with the family. I have to say I'm enjoying my time at West Ham. I played 80% of the games.
Wait, did you expect to?
Well, I was 32 when I came, and of course, when you are in your 30s in this league, you have to look after yourself a lot, because physically, if you are not good, you will suffer in this league, the intensity, the pace of the game and all that. And maybe I thought, okay, let's see how it goes. I got experience and maybe I will play 60 or 50% of the game. But my first season at West Ham, I played 37 games. I missed just one by suspension, 5 yellows. And this season, I've been playing in 60% of the game, also started. So when I came to West Ham, one of the reasons, obviously, was to have a game time. Maybe staying at City would mean that it was only to be as a squad player and wait for the chance for me to play. They needed to invest in young players in the back four, in the defence, because maybe a few of them we were used on the 30s and a club for Manchester City. They always, it's a club with a huge ambition. So they're always looking to win trophies. They need to have everyone in their prime and all this. So I cannot complain. I give everything for West Ham. I prove even some people wrong, because some of them probably they thought, oh, this guy is coming for the last payday, or he will come to West Ham to enjoy the city of London or something like that. But I'm a good professional. I love football. I got so much respect for my profession. I feel so lucky to play football at the top level. And that's why for every team I've been playing for, I give 100% in every game. So that's why West Ham deserve all my respect.
And you had the best person selling it to you in Slaven Bilic because he was West Ham through and through.
Yeah, he was the man that brought me in, honestly. So I felt really bad when he left. I spent only a few months with him. I have seen a little Slaven again in the World Cup when we did some punditry for the World Cup for the BBC, and we have been talking. He's a really nice person, really
good
manager.
What do you think of him as a pundit?
I really like him, actually. He's inside in football. He's fantastic. And he's back again. I think he did our game against Man U. I didn't have a chance to see him before the game or after. But I'm sure that he will find some job soon because, as I say, he's a really good manager.
Is that something that you want to do more of, the punditry? Because you did the World Cup in Russia.
Yes, that was my first experience as a pundit. I wasn't quite sure, honestly, before that, because one thing is, I can talk to English to somebody, but when you are on TV live or, the studio is something that I never done before, and it's tough. It's tough. It's not your language. You have to be quick. You have to be ready for what they're saying. Or when Gary Lineker asks you something, you just need to understand everything and be quick. TV, this is something that I learned on TV. That's you maybe they say something to you. We're going to talk about some players, but then the time is different and they just change quickly. And I see so many people also working behind the camera. It was I was really surprised about this also. But yes, I must say that was a good experience.
Did your wife give you a journalistic debrief afterwards?
I'm not as good as my wife. she's probably much better than me. So no, I need to respect my wife. I'm not better than her.
I think that every team might feel like they need a Pablo Zabaleta coming in, because we look at what happened with Manchester City and how the team suddenly had this influx after you came in of huge names, stars in the making. And that's happening here as well at West Ham, because since you've been at the club, they've bought in Arnautovic, they've bought in Felipe Anderson. I mean, what's he like up close in training? Because he looks like a brilliant prospect.
Yes. Well, I'm always saying from the first day I came to the club that West Ham is a club with a huge potential. When you look at the club, it's probably in the best city in the UK. It's with a new stadium with 60,000 fans in every match. It can attract every player from different leagues. Like say, Marco was a Stoke and he decided to come and enjoy for West Ham. Felipe Anderson was playing for Lazio in Italy, which is a top club, but he also, decided to come and sign for West Ham. So he's a Diop, a young lad from France. Also, he's having a great season. We are a club that we are looking to improve, to grow as a club. We need to learn from the past. And let's be honest, the Premier League with the new TV money and all this give a chance to all the team to spend big and then bring players from top clubs. And it's getting really, every season is really hard, the Premier League. Everything is so tight, except for the probably top six. Outside of these six teams, you can see that anybody can beat any team. It is something that we need to be players, that we are at West Ham. We need to feel like we are enjoying playing for this club. If we look at this club that is to come and play for one season or two seasons to do well and then I want to go somewhere else, you will never create the right mentality to become a better club. Obviously, if you got a chance or an offer from one of the top clubs for some of these players, Marco, Declan now is... It looks like everyone wants to sign him, or Felipe Anderson is at the Diop. Some of these players got a chance to go and play for a top club. I'm so happy for them, but I wish that West Ham can keep them and give everybody a chance to have a stronger squad for next season, to build something from here. And then every club you have, four or five players that will make things happen, that they make the difference for the team. The rest, we need to understand that to become a better team and all this is by having the right mentality to come every day in training, thinking that I'm going to be a better player, I'm going to give everything for the team, for the club, to show respect, and this is the best way to grow as a team.
You've been there at Manchester City, you know, you're the top two clubs in the league at the moment, battling it out. So what is that gulf between there and here? Because you've been there, you've been in that dressing room, and now you're in this one.
Well, a bit different in terms of when you are at Man City, let's say, now, years after 2-3 years where the club spent big to bring top players, it means that you have to win every game. You have to, in the way you approach the game, is you're thinking we need to find consistency to win games, because in the end of the day, we want to win trophies for the club. Simple as that. I'm not saying at West Ham we're going to win trophies every single season. Premier League is very tough, but at least we need to have the ambition to fight for some of, let's say, FA Cup, Carabao Cup, those competitions. If you're lacking in the draw and if you perform well enough, or if you believe that you got a team that is something that's, I don't know, for me, I would say I'm a big fan of FA Cup. This is, go and play in Wembley, an FA Cup semi-final or in the final is something that's for the players, for the club, for the fans, is something amazing. So, and it is all about 6-7 games that you have to win to go through and to have a chance to go and play in Wembley. So when you look at the last few years, the FA Cup run for this club been poor. We lost to Wigan last year. This season we lost to Wimbledon, teams that they were below us in playing in the championship. Listen, with a lot of respect to them, because they won because they were better that day. But I'm saying for a club like us, West Ham, for the players, we need to try to understand and to compete with the right mentality to win these games. Then you have to play one of the top teams away from home and you got beat. Okay, fair enough. But this is what I'm saying. We need to improve a little bit our mentality here. We need the players to bring consistency, and this is the best way to improve.
You didn't get much time with Pep Guardiola. Is that one of your regrets? Because he seems to be that sort of coach that's all about that mental.
He's very good. He's one of the best managers for sure. I spent one season with him, and he was the first season for Pep in England. And we did some amazing stuff, but also we made a few mistakes that cost us winning the Premier League or the Champions League. And for a team, for a club like Manchester City, finishing the season without trophies is something that, as a player, hurts. You know that when you're there, you play to win trophies. So, you see, last season, in the way Manchester City won the league, they've been playing in one of the best football we have seen in the last few years in the Premier League. This season, they're trying to also to, with Liverpool in that race for the title to win. It's so much pressure. It seems like when they lost in the Champions League to Spurs, they were very unlucky. I thought they played really well. If Sergio Aguero scored the penalty in the first game, probably would have been different story. So it shows how the Champions League is very tough, and the small details just make the difference in these games. But I'm sure that he will stay in Manchester City. He will keep improving the team, and he will keep winning trophies.
And you're welcome there whenever you want, because you have a lifetime season ticket, which you can't use at the end of this season because you'll be playing.
Why not? I'm always. It is always special to go back at the Etihad and see everybody there. When you spend so many years in one place,
have you managed to use it?
Not yet. I've been only once. Last season, when they did the celebration for the title after the game against Huddersfield, but because I'm playing for West Ham, it means that every weekend I'm very busy playing in games and all that. And for the Champions League games, it's too late to go there and then come back next day. We got training in the morning. I need to be patient. Now I'm still playing in football, so we have plenty of time when I finish to go and watch
the devil side of me is thinking, West Ham are definitely safe. This could go down to the last day of the season. I've got the West Ham press officer looking at me now, because there must be a temptation if it's it's all on that final day to go and have a look.
I'm Graham Wilcos, here to tell you that the Bradley Wiggins Show from Eurosport is back for a brand new series.
For 20 years, I've just been called a hero and a legend, you know, and other things, obviously, but only behind the back.
We'll bring you stage-by-stage analysis of the Giro d'Italia, the World Championships, La Vuelta, and, of course, the Tour de France. Each week, Sir Brad and our panel of cycling experts will be taking a deep dive into the world of two wheels and Lycra.
Brailsford could put his hand down a toilet and pull chocolate out.
The Bradley Wiggins Show from Eurosport is your essential guide to the greatest events in cycling. Subscribe now on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else you get your audio on demand.
Speak about the managers that you've had in your life and coaches, because you've had quite a lot on the international scale as well as domestic. You've picked up all these things along the way. Is coaching something that interests you?
Yes, I'm doing my coaching badges. I already finished my UEFA B. I have to go into the next level, but it's something that I probably need time in the summer to do this. But yes, I want to carry on doing my coaching badges, because I can see myself after playing career to do something, you know, to stay in the game. Or I can go into coaching, then, I don't know, sporting director, whatever. But I'm sure that because I love football too much, it's something that I would love to give myself a chance to be a manager one day or something like that. I know it is tough. It's not really easy. It's something that you need to make sure that when you go into coaching, forget about time with your family, forget if something now, as a football player, we finish training session, we go back home, we forget about football, next time we turn up again. But as a manager, you have to stay in the training ground for another 4 or 5 hours. You have to plan, you know, the weekly schedule for the training session. If you win one game, it's good, but if you lose, you have to be ready for people to criticize you, or how to motivate your players and all that. It's something is really tough when I see the manager that they look so stressful. It's something I'm thinking about, is, but yes, maybe we'll see.
The transition from player to manager is one of the most successful recent examples, especially being Argentinian, for you. Is it Pochettino?
I played with Mauricio one season together at Espanyol. He was my first season there, and he was last season. But you can see Poche was, he was one of the character, and in the way he was talking to the players. Another player have seen that I was 100% sure he was going to be a manager one day. And he was very brave, because when he stopped playing football, I think his first job was at Espanyol. They were fighting for the relegation, and he never had any experience before in football as a manager. He kept the team up in La Liga, and I think he stayed for another 2 years. He's done a great, incredible job at Espanyol, and then came to Southampton. He had a great season there. And you look now what he's doing for Spurs. The team is playing in Champions League every season without spending big money, and he makes the team play really good football. They're in the semi-final of the Champions League. So yes, I have a good relationship with Mauricio, and I'm very pleased for him.
He's taken that route of being a number two, hasn't he, to get his chance? A little bit like Mikel Arteta at Manchester City is going down that route, learning along the way. Is that what appeals to you more?
Definitely. When you finished, you know, as a player, sometimes you need a bit of luck to have a chance that one of the managers that give you the opportunity or the chance to join the staff and to work with them is something that, as a player, if you think to become a manager one day, you can learn, you know, from. And when you look at Enzo Maresca here with Manuel Pellegrini, the same thing. He's learning from him. He played under Manuel Pellegrini as a player in Malaga, and now he's having his first experience here you know, as a coach in with his staff. So we'll see. Maybe I go a phone call from Mauricio, I don't know, for somebody to go and work with.
Looking reflectively on your career, I'm guessing a couple of those high points. One of them, you know, you scored that opening goal when...
The forgotten goal.
Look, I can tell that that resonates.
Yaya Touré into Zabaleta. Good hit. It's in. It's in. It's Pablo Zabaleta's first Premier League goal of the season. And Manchester City in front and top of the table again.
I always say to Sergio Aguero, you know, I can't believe you're selling shirt with the 93 minutes, 24, I don't know, and you know, Aguero on it, and you scored the winner and you are the hero of that day. You know, at halftime I thought we should finish 1-0, you know, so I would be the hero, something that's fun. Some people, we keep watching that game and looking at Zabaleta, he scored the only goal that gave Manchester City the first Premier League after many years. But when QPR equalised the game and then they scored the second goal, I thought, oh my God, I don't score many goals during the season. That was my first one in probably the best game. But, you know, then in the end, which is we needed Seco and Aguero to the rescue.
I think it's the equivalent of being the firstborn in a family, but then, you know, three more kids come along and then there's the youngest, you know. Everyone's going to talk about the youngest. That's going to be Aguero. I have to get you on him because he feels to me like a player that has, even though he's been given a lot of credit, his goals speak for himself, that's been a little overlooked. You know, you look at those lists Messi,
yeah,
Ronaldo.
I think he deserves so much credit. I mean, he's probably one of the best strikers we have seen in the Premier League for the last 7-8 years. He's a fantastic striker, one of the best players to play with, definitely. Such a really nice lad as well. You know, I think also Manchester City has been so lucky to have a striker like Sergio. When you look at the top strikers like Suarez, Messi, Harry Kane for the Spurs, and all these, that is why you need to win trophies. You need one of the top strikers in the world to have in your team to score goals, and Sergio always does it.
So that brings me on to the World Cup final you were in. Mm. So how does that go down in memory? Because you're so close, but
yes,
yet so far.
It was tough, obviously. It's still hard every time I look at some clips from this game. I try not to watch much because it still hurts, you know, when you think how close we have been to win the World Cup in that final against Germany, that we had the best chances in the game. We were very unlucky not to score a goal that probably would have been enough to win it. And then we went to the extra time and we conceded a goal just 4 or 5 minutes before the end of the game. And so, yes, it is still really tough when you think about that final. But I have to say, as a football player, then I'm very proud to have been involved in one of the most important games that you can have as a football player.
We started this with England, you coming to England. I think this is a great way to bring it back full circle, because I get the impression that this is somewhere that you would like to stay as well. So do you see your future being in England too, here on in?
I made this country a beautiful place to live with the family, to work. I spent most of the time of my career here. I know many people. I don't know, my wife is from Barcelona. I spent 3 years living in this wonderful city, and we would like at least to have some break after football. We miss a little bit the sunshine and the beach and all this. So maybe when I finished, we will go back there with the family. But I know that if I have a chance to work in football and to come back to England, I have no doubt that, you know, I will, even myself, you know, when you have been for so long in one place, you know 100% that if you have a chance again to come back, I will definitely. So, I don't know. Now I don't want to think too much, because in football, everything changed so quickly. And at the moment, I just want to enjoy playing in my last few years or few games. I don't know how to say few years because I'm 34 now, but I'm just trying to keep myself fit. I want to play one more season. I can see myself going for another year and we'll see where, but if I have to stay in England, I will be so happy. As I said before, I'm enjoying my time at this football club and also working with Manuel Pellegrini again, so we'll see.
We might see you in a dugout, but you've got to fulfil your promise of giving your wife some sun first, I think.
Definitely. She's been really good. When I say to my wife the first time that we moved to England, I say, this is only for four to five years, then we come back again to Spain. So I can't, you know, it's been 11 years, maybe it would be 12 years. So she deserved to go back to her family and all that, but definitely, I can see myself working, you know, in some of the English club.
Yeah. Well, we wish you all the best with that. And enjoy your summer barbecue.
I will.
Thank you for listening to our Offside Rule exclusive. There'll be another one next month. But in the meantime, make sure you're subscribed to hear our weekly discussions.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.